Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to another edition of Answers for the Family. I'm your host, Alan Cardoza. And for those of you that have been listening, sending in questions and comments, thank you so much. Please continue to help spread the word that each week this show will bring on special guests that can inspire, educate, and in some cases entertain, while bringing answers and options to making our lives happier, healthier, and more at peace. Now, for those of you that have been sending some things in, I want you to know that I have gotten some feedback from people that are reading those that have then told me that they have now chosen to listen, not because they had listened to the show, but because they had read that feedback. So I want you to know I am truly honored that there are people making that decision. So please keep doing it. Now, I want you to know that we will also introduce you to top professionals and talented authors who are working to make this world a better place for all of us. Now, I want you to know if you could all do me a big favor, as well as putting in those references and making comments about it, forward one of our shows to your social media group or to someone you know who can benefit from a particular show. Now, this is a powerful way that we together can make a positive difference in the world. And I guarantee you, after you listen to this show, you will realize that this is one of these shows that many people will be able to benefit from. Now, many of our shows fall into the category of catch them doing something good. And again, this is certainly one of those shows. With all the negativity and divisiveness out there these days, I hope that you will find answersforthefamily.com to be a place where you can go to hear some of the very good things that are happening all over the world. I want you to know that I'm grateful for all of you that take your precious time to do so. And remember, this show exists for you. Now, with that in mind, if there was ever a time in recent years that we needed to focus on gratitude, this is the time. And my son and I wrote the Attitude of Gratitude Journal, something that at the time was geared toward teens that were going through changes in their life. Well, we're all going through changes in our lives now. So please go to our website, answersforthefamily.com, and download a free copy. It's our gift to you. All I ask is that you subscribe for free. And give it 21 days and comment afterwards on whatever platform you listen to us on what focusing on gratitude has meant to you and your family. Now, one of the many quotes in the journal, which happens to be one by my son, Chase, who I'm very proud of, that one reads, "Go for it, chase your dreams, and be grateful for the ones that you catch." So today, we're going to be talking about why depression, addiction, physical illness, unfulfilled work, and relationship problems can be caused by years of hiding your true emotions, denying your life purpose, or living in fear. Now, our guest today, Blake D. Bauer, is the author of the international best-selling book, You Were Not Born to Suffer. Each year, Blake helps thousands of people who cannot find effective support from conventional either psychology, medicine, their religion. He has a way to be able to get through to them. He is a world-renowned teacher and speaker with an extensive background in psychology, alternative medicine, nutrition, traditional healing, and mindfulness meditation, both on his personal experience of overcoming deep suffering, addiction, and adversity, as well as his professional success with people worldwide. Blake's work integrates what he's found to be the most effective approaches to optimum mental, emotional, and physical health. Blake, welcome to Answers for the Family.
Hi, Alan. Thank you very much.
Well, it is my pleasure. I know that we had you scheduled to come up in a couple of weeks. I appreciate you jumping in here sooner. But I really can't think of anything that is as topical right now with what we're going through in society. So I think before we even go into specifically the book, how can people work through all of this negative thinking, fear, and uncertainty based on the way in which the world is situated right now, where we are bombarded with an incredible amount of negativity and fear? I was just looking at a website that said that COVID-19 and fear put together has been put out through social media over 69 billion times since this has come out. It's unbelievable.
It really is unbelievable. I think, you know, this morning I ran into somebody and was talking to them over coffee, and we were obviously talking about similar topics because it's on everybody's mind. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a couple things to have in our awareness to help us with our mindset right now. And there's a couple that I would name in response to what you expressed. And the first one I would say is kindness, the need to be really kind and gentle with ourselves, because we are going through a very overwhelming, stressful, and unprecedented experience in the world, especially with social media and the internet, magnifying and amplifying things that pre-internet and pre-social media would not have spread so rapidly. I'm sure you and a lot of people listening have seen memes and articles about fear being the real virus, and that spreading even quicker and it being more damaging than COVID-19. Mm-hmm. So I think we need to be kind to ourselves, and we can talk more about how to do that, and kind to the people around us, the people we come in contact with, because the truth is we don't really know where anybody's at, and we really want to meet everybody we come into contact with a sensitivity and a gentleness and a kindness, because you might meet 10 people in a day and they're all going through something else. Like one person might have lost their job and the other person might have lost a family member, or have a family member who's sick, or you might meet someone who's trapped at home with their spouse and they don't have a good relationship, or they're at home with their kids and they don't have a good relationship, or you come in contact with a mother who's trying to homeschool and keep the house, and her husband's home and he's never been home before all day, every day. So everybody's just going through something different. And I think it's really important to keep that in mind, that we really have no idea what's going on behind closed doors, which is true all the time, but now even more so. And the need to just meet people from a place of kindness, I think that comes, you know, is really in the forefront.
And I think you're absolutely right. And one of the things that I love about what you said is be kind to ourselves as well. There's a lot of people out there that are coming on and they're saying, okay, you know, be kind to the people that you meet, which I completely agree with, but not as much talking about being kind to yourself, because I think that in many cases, a lot of us are really beating ourselves up, in regards to either what we've done or what we didn't do. What are some tools that we can use? Because I think if we don't first work on ourselves, we're not going to be kind to anybody else.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, my work is all about how do I create the healthiest and most loving relationship to myself first, because then that's how I meet the world. And then that's what I attract and create. And so there's a number of tools that we can practice on a daily basis that are very simple and very effective. And we need to do them so that we're not stressed and we're not reactive and we're not resentful. And so one of those is talking about what you're feeling, because right now there's a lot of emotion coming up for people for all different reasons. And I think it's really important to find someone that you can talk to openly and honestly, so that all that's going on inside of you is not just stuck and trapped and torturing you. So whether it's your spouse or partner or a good friend or a sibling, or even calling a therapist or a coach, I think that's really important. Some people don't feel very safe opening up to people in their lives. So a really great practice is to journal. Just sit down with a notebook or a journal and maybe write to the universe or write to God, or if you believe in that you can communicate with loved ones who have passed away, write to your mother, your father, your grandparent, if you believe in Jesus Christ or some kind of saint, write to them. Just find something that's real for you and write to them and just get it out so you process what's going on inside of you so you don't combust inside. So I think that's a really great tool.
I think it's wonderful.
And then I think everybody needs personal time and space. So you need to get away from your house and from the people you're living with a little bit, even if it's just for a 30-minute or hour walk. So I think it's really important to go take a walk every day or take a drive, you know, somewhere you like and put on the music that you like or listen to a podcast you like. I think it's really important just to have some time for yourself. And another great way to spend that time is exercise. And I know for me during this time, walking, I bought a spin bike when the pandemic hit, spinning, lifting weights, doing yoga, whatever it is that you enjoy, that you have access to. I think it's really important to take care of your body because your body being healthy right now will help your mind and your heart be healthy right now too. So that comes out of this blanket of take some time for you to get away from your partner, your family, your friends, work, the computer, your phone, and be with your thoughts, be with your feelings, take care of your body, move at your own pace, listen to your instinct and your gut. It's really key. So you don't feel like you're under pressure and everybody's watching you all the time or judging you or criticizing you or you're not doing something at the house like the dishes or the laundry that's staring you in the face, something like that.
Yeah, I'm smiling because, you know, it's one of the things that I've been doing was that because I'm now operating out of the home, so I'm here a lot more. And what I'm finding is I'm seeing those things that you're talking about. And so I've been trying to do more honeydew type things, you know, where I'm fixing different things around the house. But it's interesting because when you said that, I thought, yeah, I notice them now. So I find myself doing that. The other point that you brought up from the standpoint of as far as exercise, I mean, all of these things, I agree, are things that also help build our immune system, which means we're doing ourselves a favor because it's less likely that we are going to catch anything, you know, or if we do, that it's going to affect us less. So exactly. All of those things I think are so beautiful and I completely agree. You know, let's talk a little bit about the book because I know that with the book, you obviously started writing this long before anybody knew what the word COVID-19 meant. So just kind of take us through your journey that got us to the point to where you felt, okay, I now feel like the best way that I can get this word out to as many people as possible is to write the book that you did.
Well, my journey began, I guess, consciously as a young man. I was addicted to drugs and alcohol as a teenager and quite self-destructive, excuse me. And by the time I was 18, I had been arrested a number of times for drug possession and then eventually for driving under the influence. I played sports growing up and was a captain of the varsity football team with offers to play in college. And I got a very bad DUI and I got kicked off the team during my senior year. And that set in motion a very downward spiral where I really hit rock bottom because at that point in my life, I lost my identity and who I thought I was and my ego and my arrogance all shattered. And underneath that was a very tortured, confused, insecure young man that then felt all this pressure to figure out life and figure out what to do in the world and how to make a living and make my way through the world. And so at 18, I hit my rock bottom very young, which at the time was horrible, but now I'm so grateful. I was suicidally depressed, psychologically and emotionally tortured. And that set in motion a very simple drive to heal myself. And so I moved forward at 18 with two questions on my mind every day, which were, how do I heal myself from my suffering? Because I'm in so much pain and I'm waking up every day tortured and I can hardly function. And yet I'm supposed to be figuring out what to do with my life. And I felt like that was not how life was meant to be lived. And I think everybody deep down has this feeling like life is not meant to be so painful and so hard all the time. Yes, there is challenges. Yes, there is suffering, but not not most of the day, every day.
Not from the moment you wake up.
Yeah, so there's got to be a way out. So that was my intuitive inner intelligence instinct, was that there has to be some freedom from this. There has to be a natural freedom from this.
Mm-hmm.
And then at 18, as a young man who had self-respect and pride, I wanted to have a good life. And I had this drive to understand, you know, what's my purpose in life? Because I had grown up with a lot of people who were also self-destructive. So I came from a family of addiction and self-destruction, which is why I had a tendency towards it. It was in my environment. It was in my DNA. And it was just something I had to face and overcome in myself. And I had a lot of family members who were very successful in business and had created beautiful families, but then went on to destroy everything, ruin their families, ruin their marriages, ruin their businesses. And so I knew in my heart that money didn't equal success and happiness, although, even though it was important. So I felt like I had to have some kind of purpose in life. So these two questions, how do I heal myself and what's the purpose of my life, drove me forward. And I studied topics like psychology and nutrition, and then I went on to study Chinese medicine, so traditional Chinese medicine, acupuncture, oriental medicine, herbal medicine, and I kept going deeper and deeper into all different kinds of philosophies on health, healing, preventative medicine, anti-aging, longevity. And after years of working in this field and studying and taking all kinds of trainings, and I realized that what I had really been doing in my life, and I looked out in the world and I felt like I was seeing this in everybody I came into contact with, was that really I was just looking for love and learning how to love myself. So on my healing, spiritual, educational, personal development journey, I was looking for love. I was looking for the love I didn't get as a child. I was looking for the love that instinctually I knew would heal me and set me free. And I was looking for the love, which is, I believe, is our true nature. So I was really just looking for myself. And then I realized instinctually that the path to finding all those things was learning how to love and value myself so that I could heal the pain inside of me, stop looking outside of myself for love and hurting myself to get it, you know, people pleasing, betraying myself to be accepted or to fit in, or for a woman to love me, or my family to love me, or society to love me. And so then from all my training in all the sciences and Chinese medicine, I started to see how disease and depression develop in the body as a result of negative thinking and internalizing your emotions, which weakens your immune system, stagnates the flow of blood and energy, which eventually leads to diseases that we can't seem to find a cause or a cure for in Western allopathic medicine thinking. And so when I had this epiphany, because I was literally so desperate to understand this for myself, just selfishly, when I had this epiphany, I thought, there are millions of people who are desperate too. How can I share this? And then very naively and innocently, the next thought was, write a book. And so that began the journey. And I was 24 years old at that time. And so the process of getting a book published was very challenging. And nobody took me seriously. And I was rejected a lot until I wasn't. So, yeah.
Now, you mentioned a lot of things that I know in the book as well, but one of the ones that I recently learned a little bit more about, and I think it would be great to share it with our audience, is to share a little bit about Qigong, and how this form of Chinese movement really changes what's going on physiologically in our body. So share a little bit about that.
Absolutely. So Qigong is, for people who are listening who don't know, Qigong is a moving meditation similar to yoga. They're gentle, slow movements and stretches that you link with your breath so that you cultivate this sense of integrity and unity inside, so that your mm-hmm. attention, your breathing, and your physical movement are all moving together instead of being fragmented and all over the place like most of us live our days. You know, our thoughts are there, our feelings are here, we're doing that, you know, we're and our breath, we don't even know what's going on. So normally we're just scattered and all over the place. So doing this practice helps you bring everything back into alignment and integrity so you can really just be where you are. But Qigong is actually the foundation for all Chinese medicine and acupuncture. So it the recorded research and dates for its practice go back well beyond the development of Chinese medicine. And if anybody's familiar with acupuncture and the energy meridians that run through your body that an acupuncturist will use when treating you, the Qigong masters were the ones who mapped out the flow of energy in the body. You know, they lived during a time where there were not many distractions. They were in nature. They spent time with the body, feeling the body, sensing the body. And that's they experimented where if you touch this point on the body, where do you feel it? And when you touch this point on the body, where does the energy flow? Where does the circulation go? And so they, over time, built up what became the entire field of Chinese medicine. So I went on my journey, I went to two different universities for Chinese medicine, one very science-based and then one very esoteric-based. And when I started practicing Qigong, I felt more vital, healthy, and strong than I had ever felt in my life. I couldn't believe the amount of power, of energy, and vitality that had unlocked inside of me. And I became quite addicted to the practice to the point where I stopped practicing Chinese medicine and only started teaching people Qigong because I believed it was like the metaphor, you give a man or a woman a fish, they eat for a day, which right. is a treatment. But if you teach a man or a woman how to fish for themselves, they eat for a lifetime. So for me, teaching Qigong was teaching people how to fish for themselves. And the most practical and effective mindset to have about it all when it comes to Qigong or Chinese medicine, and I believe when it comes to health and disease, is that you can look at disease and depression in the body and the mind as simply stuck blood, stuck energy, and stuck emotion. So stuck blood, stuck energy, and stuck emotion causes disease in the body and mind. So the opposite of that is free-flowing, strong circulation of blood, energy, and emotion. So anything that very effectively increases that flow is going to be helpful, like running, like riding a bike, like walking. They all help things flow. But Qigong, and in particular the form that I teach, is for me has been, and with the thousands of people I've shared it with, in you know, empirical results year after year, person after person, is the most effective practice I have found for self-healing, for vitality, for strengthening your immune system. And the logic behind it is that we start at the toes and we go through everything, every single joint in the body. So the toes, the ankles, the knees, the hips, the whole spine, your fingers and hands, your wrists, your elbows, your shoulders, your neck. And the blood vessels and energy channels flow through those joints. And those joints are considered gates through which energy and blood and emotion, and if you believe you have a soul or a spirit, flows. So if the joints are closed and constricted or clogged up, your blood, energy, emotion, and soul are not flowing through that part of your body. But if you open them, the energy, blood, emotion, soul starts to flow through that part of your body, which carries with it your immune cells, the vitamins and nutrients you're getting from the juices you're taking or the smoothies you're eating, you know, drinking, or the salad you're eating or the fried chicken wings, whatever it is that you're eating. That's or your vitamins. That's how it gets throughout your body. But if things are clogged up, you can be taking all this great stuff, but it's not actually getting to all the extremities in your body. So for me, it became an integral part of my self-love journey, which is I teach retreats now all over the world. And so, and that's an integral part of my retreats is Qigong. So,
well, first of all, thank you for explaining it. Because I learned a little bit of it. I had a Chinese friend that showed me bits and pieces of it, and I've added little bits of it into my normal routine when I go to the park. And I go out, I walk the dogs, and I take my shoes off. Or anyway, so I do my grounding. I'm outside, so I'm getting my sunshine. And I go through my deep breathing exercises. But then I started to add in some of the movements and stuff. So the Qigong movements. And as I added in some of the movements, and I'm in the park, and I'm usually there so early that there's not many people, but I started making the movements of just kind of freely moving. And somebody actually ran over to me and asked if I was okay. So, and it's great. The dogs sit right next to me while I do this, you know, and I did the thing where I'm facing a tree, but anyway, you know, it was funny. And I laughed and I told them that, no, I'm fine. I'm actually doing this. And they had a few questions about it, but anyway, yeah, I have found it very freeing. And I know that I only know a little bit compared to everything that it can be. So now you mentioned in regards to retreats, we're now living in a different world. Do you still have retreats that are scheduled? Are they postponed indefinitely, or are there dates that are set in the future that we can know about?
So I had to cancel all of 2020 for in-person events for everybody's safety. We are bringing a retreat online. I'm going to do my first ever online weekend retreat in August. Okay. And then 2021, we've got a full year scheduled of in-person retreats for when they do start to go ahead. So I love in-person connection. I'm a very big fan of that. And so, but because there's a need and there's no other option right now, I've been forced to let go of my resistance and accept going online.
Mm-hmm. So, can you share for our audience? I mean, is there a place where they can go to get more information in regards to the webinar then that's coming up in August?
Yes. So my website is unconditional-selflove.com. And then my primary retreat center that I work with in the United States is the Shambhala Mountain Center in Colorado. So you could Google either myself or the Shambhala Mountain Center, which is a 600-acre Buddhist retreat center 2 hours from Denver, which is just absolutely divine and just beautiful.
Okay, you're going to do it from there, but it's going to be a webinar. And then in 2021, will your retreats be at a variety of different places spread out throughout the country or throughout the world?
Yes. So, yes, absolutely. So my website's the best way to explore that.
Okay. So for everybody out there, if you were driving, obviously you couldn't write down, that was a long website. If you go to answersforthefamily.com, we'll make sure that we have that information on there. Now, we're going to take a break, but we're going to be right back. So, if you would like, go to that website. You can open up another window if you're sitting at your computer. Many of us are home. Again, that's unconditional-selflove.com. You can go to the website. You can open it up. You can follow along with us. But again, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back. You're listening to Answers for the Family.
Founded over 30 years ago to meet the needs of families in crisis, Westshield has continually focused on resolving issues that negatively impact families and businesses. Our signature therapeutic transportation service helps to ensure that adolescents in crisis are safely transported to specialized schools, programs, and treatment centers with unsurpassed experience and success. We are supported by our full-service licensed investigation agency that has legally, professionally, and compassionately located hundreds of runaways and teens. We are experienced and qualified to help, offering solutions which may include referrals to our international network of top professionals in the fields of educational consulting, psychology, psychiatry, and investigations. Simply put, Westshield Adolescent Services and Westshield Investigations are the best solutions when your family is facing a personal crisis. Call 1-800-899-8585, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That's 1-800-899-8585, or visit our website at westshield.com. Thank you.
And we're back. You're listening to Answers for the Family, and we have some questions that have come in. And again, I want everybody to know I appreciate so much that you take the time to send these questions in. And we try to get to as many of them as we can. If we cannot get to all of the questions, We will ask the guest and then we'll put them on our website, or they'll put the answers on their website. So the first question we have here says, my son is sinking into a deep depression after losing his job and having to postpone his senior year at the university. He has moved back home and we have been trying to reassure him that things will get back on track when this pandemic is over. Unfortunately, all he can focus on is the horrible way in which our government and the media has handled this situation. He is angry and fearful all the time, and this is fueling his depression. I am hoping your book will be helpful. I'm looking forward to the show, and maybe you can address how we can start helping our son. And this is from Andrea in Massachusetts.
Alan, should I speak to that?
Yeah. Please do. I'm just saying, if we can't get to all of them, because sometimes we run out of time, and if we can't, I'll ask you some that we can put on later. But these, absolutely. Thank you.
Okay, great. So, Andrea, thank you. I understand, and I promise the book will be helpful if he will read it. It's also on Audible and iTunes, and a lot of the younger generation like the audio book, so he can maybe take a walk or exercise while listening to it. The first thing that popped into my head was that, you know, in our culture, we don't have a healthy understanding of initiation. You know, when a young adult or a boy becomes a man. And so I would keep in mind that I think this experience for your son is part of his initiation into adulthood and into the world that he is inheriting. And so he has every right to be sad and angry, because there's a lot of injustice. There's a lot that needs to be addressed. And it's those deep, dark feelings that he's experiencing, which will eventually give him a sense of purpose in life and help him to find his calling. So it's not all negative. You know, a lot of times we think that depression or heavy emotions are negative, but it's actually very healthy to go to this place. And in, you know, civilizations, since the beginning of man, we've had these processes of initiation, which our culture has really lost touch with. And so for me, my initiation came through drugs and alcohol and getting in trouble and losing everything that I cared about instead of a pandemic. Mm-hmm. You know, Alan, and I'm sure you had your own self-created initiation, you know, whatever that is. Oh, yeah. So instead of us going out with the elders in our tribe, whether it be the men or the women, and, you know, fasting for days and experiencing our deeper nature and facing death and the fear of death and all these parts of ourselves, we experience it in different ways in the developed Western world. So I think it's very natural that he's going through what he's going through, because there's also a lot of disillusionment that happens at his age and going out into the world. And I think this is all really important for younger people to wake up to, so that as they go forward and they choose their vocation and they choose what they study, how they study, if they study, or if they go to work, you know, what they devote their time to, that it's coming from a very deep, genuine place. And so I'm sure, Alan, you know, that one big lesson in parenting is letting go. Right? Because, right, your children come through you, but they're not yours. And they have to have their experiences, right? They have to fall down and get back up. And this is a time, I think, where he's going to fall down in the ways he's falling down and have faith in him that he will get back up. And then I think it's beautiful that you want to support him and be there for him. And so I think offering him a safe ear to listen and just letting him know that you're there for him, instead of, you know, criticizing or judging or thinking there's something wrong with him, would be really healthy to try and come from that mindset that, you know, just be a friend, be a guide, be open, maybe share your fears, maybe share what you're going through, which will then maybe invite him to stay open with you. And then I think providing resources like a book, and there's lots of great books and courses available, is wonderful. There's online educational services. Like, I love TED is great. And I think, you know, some younger people can get lost in TED for hours and there's so much to learn. Mm-hmm. The masterclass, website. I absolutely love themasterclass.com, which has top experts in all endeavors, you know, that you listen to directly and take their courses. So there are other ways for him to engage his mind and his intellect and his curiosity during this time. And so, yeah, I think those are some of the first things that come to mind.
Yeah, and I love the fact that the idea of, as you said, supporting them, but not necessarily having to do everything for them, but also going out and getting other pieces of information. Anybody that's listened to the show knows that I am not happy at all with the way in which our media is trying to push fear, the way that politicians are politicizing these things for their own benefit. So getting away and going and doing a masterclass, getting away and watching TED Talks, or going and listening to, or reading a book like Blake's, or listening to some of the podcasts that are out there that are focusing on the positive. If you can do that, it will help offset some of this, this negativity that is fostering this fear. One of the other things is that he's living in your home now, and if you guys have four televisions, and if they're on four different news channels, turn them off, okay? Just turn them off. Those people that are wanting you to watch that are selling your eyes and your ears, and so they're thinking that fear is the best way to do it. If you can take him out of that environment and allow him to go into other environments, I think you're going to see a lot more growth.
Absolutely. And the other thing that you just prompted, Alan, was, you know, I think during this time, I've just appreciated my family a lot more.
Yes.
You know, and I lost my father a couple of years ago, and so I appreciate my mother so much more. And just maybe just for the Andrea and anybody else in this situation, you know, your son's obviously not going to live with you forever, and he'll probably go on to have his own life and family and kids. And so a mindset of just how can I just love being with him as much as possible right now, and just try and come from that mindset. I just want to be with him and love him and support him no matter what, because really that's all that matters right now.
Yep. I couldn't agree more. And you know, the fact that we're in the middle of a pandemic, it might be the only time that for myself and my two sons, none of us are either in a job that we can't go somewhere, or in school, because it's, you know, they're in their early and mid 20s. Because this is one time in which we can do it, the three of us this upcoming weekend are going out to see my dad for Father's Day. And we haven't been able to do that together. We've been able to do it, but never all three of them, or not in, quite a few years, all three of us going at the same time. So one of my sons was away at college for 5 years. So, yes, I couldn't agree more. You know, think about the blessings that we do have, focus on those, and not so much what the media wants you to focus on. So we've got another question that has come in. This one says, I have been suffering with bipolar disorder most of my life. I just turned 40, and I am so tired of living a roller coaster ride of emotions. The medications are debilitating, but if I don't take them, within a few days, I begin feeling extremely anxious and out of control. I meditate, I practice yoga, I try to eat healthy, but nothing seems to make a lasting difference. The title of your book spoke to me, as I know I wasn't born to suffer like this, but I can't seem to make this a reality in my life. But I've purchased your book. Could you tell me how your approach might work best for someone such as myself with this particular disorder? And it then says, thanks. And it's from Gracie in Alabama.
Beautiful. Well, hi, Gracie, and thank you for being so vulnerable and for sharing. So my advice, first of all, with the book, I recommend getting a diary or a notebook. And after every chapter, you're going to find questions and exercises, and they're specifically designed to draw out and give you an opportunity to release things that have been stuck inside of you for your whole life since childhood. And often it's more effective than a lot of therapeutic processes because of the specific questions and practices that I take you through. So I would recommend that you take that very seriously, go through each chapter, do every practice and every exercise thoroughly, and make sure you write it out. And I promise you, it will help you significantly. So my view on a diagnosis like bipolar is that most of us are somewhat bipolar. And because if we're honest with ourselves about the thoughts that we have throughout the day, most people are not that honest about what's going on inside of them mentally and emotionally. But if we were totally transparent, we would admit that we all go through psychological and emotional ups and downs throughout the day. It's just for some of us, the volume is really turned down. It's maybe a 1 or a 2 on the volume. And the volume goes up to the degree that you have suppressed emotions and trauma. So if you had pain in your upbringing, or you had a lot of pain in your bloodline, in your family line, like maybe the women in your family have been abused or oppressed a lot, you would carry a lot of deep pain and trauma. And if you've never really learned how to express that fully, the volume gets turned up on those voices and on the fluctuations of thoughts and feelings, which make you feel out of control. So when you go through my book and you write out every single answer to every single question and exercise, it's going to release some of the energy that's stuck inside that's causing the spikes in volume, that's causing the extremes. And that's just one thing. I'm very happy to hear you're doing meditation and yoga and eating right, because eating right is key for mental and emotional balance and stability. In terms of meditation, it would depend on what type of meditation you're doing. I don't believe all meditation is created equal, and I don't believe all meditation is as effective as some forms. I teach a form of meditation that comes from what the Buddha taught, where you just sit in silence and breathe and you watch your mind. And when you start to think, you bring your attention back to your breathing and your body. And in my experience, this technique is the only way to heal your mind at the core, at the root of your mind, is to get back to the awareness and consciousness from which all your thoughts come. So you can see when you start to think in a certain direction. And when you do that, the more and more experience you have, you don't get lost in those thoughts. You don't get attached to those thoughts. But you also learn how to guide your thoughts. And this is one of the things that I think is the most powerful thing for you in particular to learn, and that we all need to learn, is that you and we have the power to choose our thoughts. And this is something that's not taught often enough. And it's key for all of us, that we each have the power to actually choose what we think about. And that's how you rewire your brain on your own. And nothing can substitute for, oh, I'm thinking this really negative, dark thought, and I'm going to decide right now, I'm not going to keep thinking that thought. I'm going to think about this. I'm going to think about something I love. I'm going to think about my dog or my cat that I love. I'm going to think about my son that I love. I'm going to think about what I want today and what I want to create, and I want to have a good day, instead of getting stuck in this thought. And the more you practice this, you realize how much power and capacity you have to actually direct your attention towards thoughts that are healthier. And the more you do that, each time you choose a new thought, you start to burrow and create new neurological pathways in your brain that fire more organically and naturally, instead of the neurological pathways and thoughts that for you have become your default when you go down a negative, depressive, or what for you might be an uncomfortable or overwhelming experience psychologically and emotionally. So that's key. And then I don't know if you've worked with a therapist. I imagine you may have, but if you haven't, it's good to find someone that you feel safe with to talk about and process, you know, all the things that have been inside for so many years, you know, starting again with stuff with mom and dad, and then all your primary relationships moving forward. Because if you've been struggling this for a long time, I would imagine there's some deep pain and hurt and anger that goes back to mom and dad in some shape or form. And this is not about blaming. It's just about understanding the root cause. Again, my book's going to walk you through this, but if you feel like you want human contact to help you validate and process this, I highly recommend talking to someone. Qigong, which Alan and I spoke about, I have a 2.5 hour DVD on my website that you can purchase and stream from anywhere. And that will move the energy, blood, and emotion that's stuck inside you that's causing imbalance. And by doing the practice a couple times a week, it will rebalance and redistribute the flow of blood, energy, and emotion in your body. And you will stop experiencing such extreme swings. And that's a promise, but you have to do it. There's no pill for this. So stay, I would say stay on your pills for now. But the more you integrate these tools, I've actually helped thousands of people wean off of medications like this. But it's got to be very slow, very, very slow, because your brain chemistry has already adapted to those medications. And so if you ever want to come off of them, if you really do, which I'm not saying you have to or that it's right to, it's if you want to, it has to be an extremely slow process so there's no crash.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm glad that you shared that part of it, because if you're on medications, that means that a medical doctor or a psychiatrist has prescribed that for you. If you're on ones that weren't prescribed for you, you shouldn't be taking them anyway. But the ones that were prescribed for you, talk to them, because they will be able to tell you the best way to wean off. And we've actually helped young people wean off in conjunction with their psychiatrist, where they've said, okay, you're doing a lot better in this area. We're going to cut back this one by 25%, and we're going to see how that does over the next couple of weeks. And then another 25% and so on, to where they do get weaned off when you have filled these other, these other areas to where you don't necessarily need them. Blake, I got to tell you, time has absolutely flown by. I love this. I'd love to have you come back. But there is something that I do sometime on the show, so I'd love to ask you this. It's my magic wand story. So I have a magic wand, and with that magic wand, I'm able to give it to you to where you can make three changes with that magic wand that are going to help people. What do you do? And I got to tell you, we've only got about a minute and a half. So maybe just the one thing that you would do.
Well, I got two.
Okay.
So the first one is that every child that comes, that is born, that comes to Earth, is taught first and foremost how to love and value themselves practically, how to relate to their thoughts, emotions, and body with love, kindness, mm-hmm. and acceptance. And then the second one would be that I would go around and make sure we feed all the hungry and homeless.
Okay. Beautiful. Again, I want to acknowledge you, Blake, for the good work that you're doing, for the people that you're helping. Please continue to do that. For everybody out there, again, if you weren't able to take down the website, that let me give it to you again. Or again, you can go to our website and we will have it. It's www.unconditional-selflove.com. It's Blake Bauer. Get the book, get the tools. It's amazing things. And if nothing else, if you go there, you will find what I've been talking about all along. You will find positive tools. So the more time you spend on that website and not watching the network news, that's going to be a huge benefit for you in and of itself. So Blake, again, thank you so much.
Thank you, Alan, for having me. Thank you for doing everything you're doing.
I appreciate it. Thank you. All right. So for everybody out there, I was going to share that, okay, in a recent article, it was speaking to the coronavirus pandemic effects on opioids and other drug use. And it stated in this article, it said, people who have alcohol use disorders may have a loss of recovery. People who have opioid use disorders cannot get to their clinics. And it says in there, we should be planning ahead. These things should be discussed now. Well, I want you to know that I agree, so much so that we we'll be discussing this crisis right here on Answers for the Family. So be sure you put on your calendar and tune in next Monday when we will be joined by Harry Nelson, the author of The United States of Opioids. And please visit our archives of past interviews at answersforthefamily.com or subscribe to our show through iTunes, iHeart, Stitcher, Spreaker, YouTube, SoundCloud. If you like what you hear or what you see, please leave a review. It will help us reach more people, and we greatly appreciate it. And the next time you're on Facebook or Twitter, remember, please stop by our page, check out some of our latest posts. If you like them, please like us and spread the word. So another little statistic, statistics show that it takes between 7 and 10 positive feelings to offset a negative one. So this week, go out and share at least 10 acts of kindness this week. It's easy, and you can start it with just a smile. Share a smile with somebody else, and it's the first step. For everybody out there, be good human beings and be with us again next week on Answers for the Family.
You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza, right here on LA Talk Radio.